you for the opportunity to be here. I know it's always a relief as a pastor to have the Sunday after Easter someone else to preach. And so I'm glad to fill in that role and to give Jenna a break because I know what it's like to be in those shoes. It was just a week ago we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And you know, it's not just a day. In the Christian church, Easter is a season. It's called Eastertide, for those of you who didn't know. It reminds us that this Jesus resurrection isn't one and done, that his resurrection continues to be a force in our world. And in a letter to Christians dispersed throughout Asia Minor, Peter points us to the lasting effects of Jesus' resurrection. So listen or read along as we consider what Peter says in 1 Peter 1, 3-9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This past year has been a swirl with unpredictability. We wake up each morning unsure of what world events will unfold. Jilted partnerships with allies, unleashed fury against weaker nations. Will ceasefires hold? Some people in the world wonder how many birthdays or anniversaries they have left to celebrate. Jobs have been lost. Family members have been detained for who knows how long. And gas prices have soared through the roof. Stocks go topsy-turvy. Well, welcome to Eastertide. Because Easter introduces us to the unpredictable. The resurrection of Jesus shows us a God who does not play by our rules. Jesus' resurrection, the bedrock of our faith, celebrates a God who works outside of our control. And life's like that. Much of life is beyond our control, like trials. Different kinds of trials can jump into our lives. Peter even admits that now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Jesus' disciples suffered grief. They'd invested everything. When Peter was with Jesus traveling around Galilee, he said, "We've left everything to follow you." And then they woke up on Easter, that first Easter, and they had nothing but a dead teacher in a borrowed grave. And even when news of the resurrection began to greet them, they weren't sure what to make of it. The earliest versions of the Gospel of Mark ended with these words: "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." When life's out of control, fear isn't far behind. And the fear doesn't end with the resurrection. Just when Jesus' followers figured he would restore God's kingdom, Jesus ascended into heaven. He left. and the challenges facing his followers didn't abate. After Jesus' ascension, the religious leaders tried to censure the disciples whenever they taught about Jesus' resurrection. Peter was arrested more than once for openly teaching about Jesus. Early Christians faced persecution. Peter writes this letter to a mix of Jew and Gentile converts who faced social hostility. He speaks to them as people without a homeland. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Strangers in a strange land. Now, maybe we aren't burned at the stake or fed to the lions, but sometimes our lives spin out of control. Uncertain futures can grip us or those we love. Many Christians wonder what faith has to offer when life feels uncertain. Life so often reminds us that much of it is beyond our control. Life doesn't always go according to our plans. Just over a week ago, early in the morning, our family was piled into the car to make a trek to the island. We were going to the hospital to visit our good friend Marie. Some of you know her. You might know she was diagnosed with cancer just 4 weeks earlier. On our way, we received an email from her brother. Please call. We feared the worst. And it happened. Marie died early that morning. Our plans squashed, our hearts broken, our lives charged with grief. Life doesn't always go as we expect. Life doesn't always mean predictable. Trials come. Even faithful Christians suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But there's more to life in Christ than trials. Christ's resurrection brings us new life. Peter wants us to know that the resurrection of Jesus means a brand new life for us. Eugene Peterson translates 1 Peter 1:3 like this: because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. Brand new life, born all over again. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead changes everything. None of us would be convinced that a band of demoralized, beleaguered, disgraced, and scattered disciples would become a force to shake the foundations of the Roman Empire because flowers bloomed or the Easter Bunny brought chocolate. No, Peter reminds us. Peter, the disciple who denied Jesus, had his whole life turned around because Jesus was raised from the dead. N.T. Wright explains, we're left with the conclusion that the combination of empty tomb and appearances of the living Jesus forms a set of circumstances which is itself both necessary and sufficient for the rise of early Christian belief. The resurrection of Jesus brought new life to all who encountered it. The sad women who came to the tomb were convicted enough to become the first preachers of the resurrection. The doubting Thomas, who couldn't believe Jesus was alive, fell to his knees before the resurrected one, confessing, "My Lord and my God." The disciples, who dealt with hopelessness of Jesus' death by taking up their old job of fishing, became the army of God, declaring the life of Christianity in him. And the early church grew exponentially. And Peter, the same Peter who denied Jesus, who refused to acknowledge that he even knew Jesus, became a shepherd of his flock. The risen Lord Jesus Christ was making good on his promise to build the church on this rock called Peter. Just read the New Testament book of Acts. Peter's one of the disciples that becomes a resurrection force in the world. His world turned upside down because he experienced new birth, a new life in Jesus. I mean, the disciples were willing to relinquish their dependence on anything. Anything this world believes brings life. They gave up security, power, wealth. They surrendered their careers, their loved ones, even their lives. Peter and the disciples discovered the angel's announcement changed their lives. He's not here. He's risen. Barbara Brown Taylor says, if we merely surround the Easter message with daffodils and write peace and love on it, we have robbed the angel's announcement of its world-overturning power. The resurrection, the bedrock of Christian faith, explains everything. The resurrection of Jesus caused Christianity to flourish. The resurrection of Jesus Christ radically changed the life of Peter and every Christ follower. It's new life, like being born all over again. Believers are filled with a living hope. The resurrection grants us hope for now and into God's future. No wonder Peter begins with a blessing directed toward God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance kept in heaven for you. By God's mercy, the new life we have in Christ ushers us into a living hope. Beginning already now, we get small tastes of the promises of God. We have life now and the promise of life with God that will last forever. Now we get small glimpses, but one day we'll have life with God just as the way God always wanted life to be. One pastor describes this life, a perfect earth. There will be no war, evil, or suffering. There will be rest from drudgery, shame, and poverty. Work will be part of heaven, but it will be meaningful work, joyful work. Jesus Christ's resurrection brings us this future with God beginning today. Peter says we're born into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Our hope for an eternal life with God is secure now. I mean, Peter writes like he's addressing a group of investors. Look at the imagery he uses. Inheritance and greater worth than gold. Writing to a severely impoverished people, Peter speaks of an inheritance God's put away for us that will not perish, spoil, or fade. But this isn't some monetary investment portfolio. The gift of God has in store for us is a restored relationship with God and with all our neighbors. Not separated by death, but together in the presence of God right now. This inheritance God has in store for those who believe is more secure than any RRSP. Shielded by God's power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead ensures a future for us in God's new creation. That's our living hope. We have this deep-hearted conviction that God holds our future. Just as God demonstrated his trustworthiness by raising Christ from the dead, we are certain Christ will return. Hope is our belief that the future and today are certain with God. And we live that future now. Someone once invited us to think about our hope for God's future like this. Think about a calendar. A calendar's filled with squares. Each square represents the day of the month we're at in the moment. And we write in these squares the important things that we must do. We note the birthdays to celebrate, soccer games and dinner engagements, even some committee meetings make it to our calendars. And of course, we also fill our squares with all the things we don't write down. Thousands of cups of coffee we drink, hundreds of prayers we've prayed, conversations we've had with friends and neighbors. But regardless of how we fill each square, we can only live one square at a time. The four lines that make the square are the walls of that day, and everything we do fits into a square. We can't really straddle lines. But this much is true. Each square holds an invisible door. Each square is a door that leads to the next square. I kind of magically get sucked from one square to the next. Everything I did in the previous square is sealed there, and the next frame, the next day, gets filled up with new activities. But one day, I will move into a final square. And on that day, the day of my death, all of the squares of my life, the life that I know, will end. No more doors, no more squares filled with the stuff of this life. Now, there's two possibilities that I see that could exist for this last square. The first, that all the yesterdays simply shove me into this box with no exit. I'll enter a void, a darkness. Such a final square has really no door of escape. But there is another possibility. The reason there's no door is because there's no walls. Instead of four lines boxing me in, the frame is erased, and I enter a whole new dimension. The last square, then, isn't death. It's really entry into a whole new kind of life. Christian hope says this second possibility is the real one. Christian hope says the last square is not closed like a coffin. Rather, it's like a front door into a world where all is right and free and good, just as God intended. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that's sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We will be changed. That's our hope. Not subject to the fluctuations of Bay Street, not dependent on the value of the Canadian dollar. Nothing can destroy this promise. Our hope is certain. On that day, we will enter God's future forever. So Peter says, even now we can rejoice. Even when life is difficult, we can rejoice. Life may not go our way, but life will always go God's way. And so we have joy. We have this inheritance waiting for us that we even get a taste of now. Peter says, in this, that is, in this living hope, you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Christian hope allows us to live with joy despite suffering. Gladness rises to the surface of Christian life even amidst deep pain. Just recall the joy that you can experience at the memorial service of a Christ follower. Even in death, we can celebrate life because we follow the resurrected Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that we're happy all the time. It means that we have this deep-rooted joy flowing through our lives. Death or suffering or grief does not have the final word. Jesus is God's final word to us. Jesus moves us to rejoice even though we may suffer. Whether the person was young or old, died quietly in their sleep, or tragically from cancer, in the hope of the resurrection, there is an undercurrent of joy. Even in suffering, even when we grieve, we can be glad and, strangely enough, even grateful. Resurrection joy is built on our faith that Christ is present with us. Peter writes, though you've not seen Christ, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Our hope is alive because we have the Holy Spirit in us to confirm it. Despite our isolation from others, we have faith that we're not alone. Christ is with us. There's this scene in C.S. Lewis's story, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Lucy and company find themselves in the house of a magician. And Lucy's exploring the house in search of a special book. It's a book filled with all sorts of magic spells. Lucy finds the book, and as she's paging through it, the inside, she finds one page that is blank, except for these words at the top. A spell to make invisible things visible. Well, Lucy speaks the spell, kind of unsure of what she's going to unleash. And then behind her, she hears the soft pad of footsteps. And she turns to discover Aslan the lion. "Oh, Aslan," she said, "it was so kind of you to come." And Aslan responds, "Oh," he says, "I've been here all the time. You've just made me visible." There are times we may feel alone, times when Christ feels far away. Maybe now is that time. Maybe you are feeling far away. It's not true. Christ is with us. We may not see Christ, but Christ is here. Jesus is God with us. And his resurrection hope fills us with joy. We can have a profound sense that everything's all right, even though we face trials. With Christ, we have a faith that can move us beyond doubt. With Christ, we have a joy that surpasses our disappointment. With Christ, we discover this hope to live beyond our grief. The living hope we have in Christ lets us rejoice now, even though now for a little while, we may suffer all kinds of trials. Friends, the final square is more than a pine box. God offers an amazing gift of a new life through Christ's resurrection. Build your hopes on him. In the resurrection of Jesus, God grants you hope to carry you through every trial. It's a hope that will bring joy in this life. It's a hope that will bring you the inheritance God has in store for you. A life of praise, glory, and honor forever with God and God's new creation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the delights that we have in the Christian community is that we meet our hope in Jesus at this table. We recognize him in the broken bread and in the cup poured out. He came with healing in his touch. He was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and he met with a violent death. By the power of our God of majesty, Jesus broke free from the prison of the tomb, and at his command, the gates of hell were even opened. And the one who was dead now lives. The one who humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation. And the one who ascended on high is with us always, just as he promised. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from east and west and north and south, and they will sit at the table of God in the kingdom of God. And when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast that he's prepared. Let's pray together. Creator God, be present with your life-giving word and Holy Spirit, that we and your entire church may be called out and made whole through this supper. Grant that all who share the communion of the body and blood of your Son may be united in him. And may we all remain faithful in love and hope until we feast joyfully with Christ at the coming of his kingdom. Amen.